Thank you, Sharon. I wish I could say I taught her. But I can't take any credit for that. But I do invite you just to stand, just to shift your weight a little bit. If you're able to stand, please stand as we just read some scripture that is where we're going to focus on before we head into the message today. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, the end of the chapter. I read in Jesus' name. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he was committed to us, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You may be seated. You'll also find in your bulletin a kind of sermon notes. I just wanted to let you know that I just gave you the answers to the blanks, the 1, 2, and 3, in the sermon notes. They just come from the scripture that I read. But if you, I'll just let you know what those blanks are right now, so I don't have to answer to someone after the service. Well, one that says, if anyone is in Christ, the old... So the first blank is old, and the second blank is new, has come. And Christ gave us the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people together in his name, that they may know him as well. And three, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so I just want to let you know that I'm really not preaching today, but I came to know someone here by the name of Mary Ann Seifert. A few months ago, she told me a story about what God has been doing in her life, and I just went like, wow. I go, Mary Ann, you got to share this with the rest of the people, not just with a few of us. And so I kind of just gently asked her if she would do that. And she said, well, I'll pray about it, and we'll see what happens. And so I know they're going back, to her and John are going back to Sioux Falls next month. And I just said, we got to get her to speak here before she heads back. And so today is that day. And so, Mary Ann, I want you to come forward, because what she's going to share with you, I know it's going to be something that is so practical, and it's a God thing. It's just God at work, and she's going to share with us a story. We call it the sharing story, and I'll let her say what she wants to say about all of it. But you can follow along if you can. If you can't get all the blanks filled in, you can call Charlie tomorrow, and she's got the answers. See me afterwards, and I'll give you the answers out of there too. But thank you so much, Mary Ann.
Thank you
for coming and to share with us from your heart, like I know you will. And I just can't wait. So I'm going to sit down and let you come up here.
Thanks, Tim. Tim, I'm shorter than this, but there's no way to do that, is there? Okay. I'll stand tall. Good morning. There are three things that I want to say up front with you, just so we're on the same page. And no, they're not listed in order of importance at all. As Pastor Tim mentioned, he asked me to come and share a story that I refer to as my Sharon story with you. But the first point I want to make is that I'm a wordy person. So I've got my written script, and I'm going to try and stick to it, which means I may often refer to it, and that's a gift to all of you. Point two, I want it clearly stated. I love our Lord Jesus with all my heart, soul, and mind. And yes, I am one of those born-again Christians. Hallelujah. But what does that mean? Maybe some of you don't know. It just means that you've taken a second and asked God to come in and live inside of your heart. Forevermore changed, transformed. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But God and I have a closer relationship. I am one of God's kids. Point three, I love Harbor of Joy. I feel God's presence every time I'm in this church. I see God alive and working actively at Harbor of Joy in the hearts of the members of this church. I see you greeting each other Sunday mornings with hugs and shakes and smiles. I'm aware of the various mission projects that so many of them that you're involved in. And your awesome women's Bible study groups. You even allowed me to lead one summer, which I was so impressed. All of your efforts to reach the children of Milford who don't have a church family. You show them not only your love, but you show them the love of our Lord, most importantly. Yes, and even down to the beautiful worship music, the praise music that you have on Sunday mornings, and the awesome church sermons I've heard from this church, from the two Pastor Tims. I love this church. You feed my soul. What a joy it is to come beside you and to worship with you. What a huge blessing. Thank you, each and every one of the members of this church. And now onward and forward, I have a Sharon story to share with you. I just pray that you'll open your hearts and your minds to know that this is a story that happened to me. I haven't embellished it. I haven't made up anything. It's shared from my heart to your heart, and I pray that it will move souls this morning. That's been my prayer to God. One night, this last spring, I went to the Lord in prayer. The feeling that overcame me was one of great sadness, for I was worn out from working on a job the Lord had asked me to do, and this is where it gets very interesting. This is when I heard God speak audibly to me. Does that surprise you? Though rare, I've heard his voice before, so I'm not shocked when it happens, but rather I'm super thrilled. And just to be clear on this point, God doesn't have to speak in my ear or your ear to grab our attention, for he has innumerable ways of allowing his kids to know his will for their lives. But what did God say to me when I was deep in sorrow, thinking I was of no more use to him? I heard God say, "Yes, Marianne, I do have another project for you." Instantly, I had energy again, and I was so excited to think that God had something else I could do for him. But what did he have in mind? I heard him say, "But first, I have a question for you. Have you shared me with Sharon?" Since I had yet to meet Pastor Tim's wife, Sharon Bolth, I only knew one Sharon at that time. I knew quickly of who God spoke of. Sharon is our housekeeper, and for the past 27 years in Sioux Falls, she's come faithfully when we're in town for a couple hours to help me keep our house clean. And now God was asking me, had I shared God with Sharon? Oh dear. As Christians, we're called to share God with everyone we meet. Sharon and I have spoken on many occasions through the years, conversations about kids, schools, school activities, holidays, weather, car problems, school schedules, plans, teachers, body aches, our pet cats, doctors, our kids' plans after graduation, weddings, babies, grandchildren, recipes. I'd even loaned her some great books to read. But none that had God or Jesus Christ with the focus in them. For I just didn't think it'd be something she would be interested in. So yes, with a humble heart, a very convicted heart, I responded back to God. No, Lord, and I'm so very, very sorry. Forgive me, I have not. I then asked God what he wanted me to do for Sharon. And then I heard him say, ask her if you can come visit her in her home. When Sharon came to clean, I did exactly that. Now, the look on her face was one of surprise and just a little bit of awkwardness with a very long pause before replying, I only have my daughters and their families stop to visit me. Does that surprise you? My own thoughts were, who doesn't have friends come visit them in their homes? Could it be Sharon didn't have any friends? That broke my heart, and I felt convicted by God once more. I made a decision at that very moment that I would be her friend, not just an employer, but I take a genuine interest in her life and love her as God asks of us. I knew if I did this, then God and my love for him would have an open door into all of our future conversations. On with my story. I told her I wouldn't stay long when I came for a visit, but I just wanted to see if there was something I could do to help her. So we set up a date and a time for my visit. But first, a little quick background on Sharon. She'd been married twice to men who were alcoholics. One was physically abusive. Both men left her with a daughter to raise on her own on a cleaning woman's wages. Her own father was an alcoholic and believed children were meant to be worked hard. She came from an abusive family. Going to church was not anything this family did. I also knew from past conversations with Sharon that she suffers from anxiety, depression, and she doesn't sleep well some nights. Sharon's life is not easy, and it never has been. Sharon's house as I approached was small but well cared for on the outside. I thought, okay, Lord, you must show me what you want me to do. This is all in your hands. She gave me a full tour of her home, ending in the kitchen, and I thanked Sharon for letting me come. Then as we sat at her kitchen table, I told Sharon about my prayer to God. And then he led me to her home. I felt I was to ask her what I might do to bring some joy into her life, that God wanted this for her, for he dearly loves her. She shared back that money had always been tight, that though she tried hard to keep up the outside appearance of her house so it looked nice, the inside of the house was a different matter. I told her I had a small inheritance from my parents, that John, my husband, and I had agreed I could use to do God's work. That I felt God wanted me to do something for her, So I pushed a little harder on Sharon to help me know what that would be. She finally pointed out that her kitchen countertop was in tough shape. I saw how she had various cutting boards and items scattered on the top. She took off a few, where underneath I saw was the original 1940s linoleum, cracked, torn, and well-worn after 79 years of use. She told me it was hard to keep clean. Now, I felt I knew what God wanted me to do for Sharon. We would go together and find a new countertop for her old one and replace it. Then I pointed to her kitchen floor where she had lots of throw rugs scattered about. Her second husband and she had put down a sheet of vinyl, but that had been some 30 plus years, and now it too was worn, yellowed, torn, and needed to be replaced. Yes, we would also find something nice, as I promised Sharon. We'd have shopping together for these items. But what else might we do? She told me her walls were in tough shape. So we examined them closer, and I listened as she told me that she and her second husband had torn off green tiles that the former owner had glued onto the walls, starting at the floor, working 3/4 of the way up on all four walls. This tearing out of the old green tiles left a lot of glue marks. So after a couple of years, she and her husband hung up wallpaper to hide it. A few years after that, as a single woman, she painted on top of the wallpaper. So though I had no idea, absolutely no idea, how we could fix that problem, I told her we would try to address it. So as I left her that morning, I knew God put us together for a reason. It was not just to give her kitchen a new updated look, but much more, much, much more about us becoming friends and giving me opportunities to share God's love with her. The bottom line, God wanted her to be one of his children and would use me to accomplish that happening. What an honor. What a privilege. I was thrilled. And now I knew what God wanted me to do. Sharon and I went out shopping. That drew us together. Come on, women, smile. You know what I'm talking about. My immediate goal, I believed, was to transform this kitchen to be one that Sharon loved and expressed her personality. So I asked her, "What's your favorite color?" She stated without hesitation, "Orange." Oh, I think I physically shuddered. And though I tried to convince her to think about other more subtle colors, colors that are popular right now, like gray and beige and white, she stuck to orange. Was God asking me to stretch myself? After all, this kitchen transformation was for Sharon, not me. More on this topic later. As I drove us around town, stopping at various places like, you know, Menards, Lowe's, Home Depot, Fort and Loring, and taking time out for a nice lunch, of course, with Sharon, she and I easily conversed not only on what we might do in her kitchen, but also about our own families and what life was like growing up. As I learned more about Sharon, I had more opportunities to share the love of our Lord with her, just like God had planned. What God asks us to do, he also provides. I cried and held her hand as she told me about how she'd been beaten by her husband, and then her mother-in-law told her she must have done something to deserve that black eye. I felt sad to think that she was not valued by her parents or either of her husbands. All she had ever known was hard work and how to stretch her hard-earned dollars. So I shared that God created her and knows the number of hairs on her head, that he loves her unconditionally and wants her to come closer to him, that he would never forsake her, but only wants to love her and to have her love him back, that he could help her with her anxiety and her depression. Indeed, that it was God's desire for her to sleep well at nighttime and awake and filled with his joy in the morning. I shared how I always pray to God at night, first thing in the morning, last thing at the night, and throughout the day. The prayer was just talking to God, sharing with him and inviting him to participate in our lives. That he was available 24/7, that no matter what I was worried about or concerned about, I could give those problems and worries to God and ask him to help me with them. And he would. It was a matter of getting to know him and then trusting him for his guidance and love. I assured her that God wanted to do the same for Sharon that he does for me every day. How do you share the Bible, God's Word, with someone who never attended Sunday school or vacation Bible school or had parents who brought you to church like mine did as a small child? Since Sharon had small grandchildren, I bought her a children's Bible to begin reading and encouraged her to read it aloud to them too. She just told me that Noah and his ark are one of her grandchildren's favorite stories. Yay! I encouraged her to ask me any time questions she may have always wondered about, like, who is God? What does the Bible say? Who are Christians? Why is it important to be one? What do we believe? Why do we believe? Is there really a heaven? How can we be assured of getting to heaven when we die? And the list goes on and on. Now we have weekly phone conversations since I'm in Okoboji and she's in Sioux Falls. I hope that once I'm back in town in Sioux Falls, our friendship will continue to grow. That is my hope and prayer. And I am 110% confident God will answer that request too. At this point in my story, I knew God wanted this kitchen to get a total transformation. So I asked Sharon if she'd give me permission to work on it during the day while she was out cleaning. She gave me a house key, and I thanked her for trusting me and honoring me in this way. Then I prayed to God. I knew I had never remodeled a kitchen before, and I was in way over my head. I prayed that God would bring me a helper who was not only physically able to do the work I didn't know how to do and couldn't do, I'm out of shape, and that the person would have the knowledge of how to do it. The very next morning after I made a few phone calls to a couple of friends of mine, God delivered. A friend of a friend told me to call a young man by the name of Andrew. She felt that he was the person who would be kind on my dwindling inheritance account, be able to do the job for me and do it quickly. For my husband and I were scheduled to make our annual move over to Okoboji after all. After I took Andrew over to Sharon's house and told him what I hoped to accomplish, he told me he could help me with everything, promised to stay within my budget, and help me find ways of stretching my dollars. Plus, the icing on the cake, he could begin real soon. All of my concerns and my worries were answered. Amazing. Try calling a contractor and have them tell you when they can come to work for you. Tell them what your budget is and have them tell you no problem. In fact, they'll stretch it and make it look beautiful and do everything you want and have the price be less. God. God delivered in a mighty way. This whole idea of transforming her kitchen would not have happened without God's involvement. He always comes to our aid when we need him and when we trust him. That's my first check off my list. Andrew gave me a start date and felt once he began to work in the kitchen, it would take him 7 days to complete. Seven? Do I hear an amen? I could only smile. As a Christian, one of God's favorite numbers is seven, the number of days it took him to make our world. Who does that? Oh my God. Check. In the meantime, Andrew took her cabinet doors home and sanded off 5 layers of paint, and then gave them all a beautiful white coat of fresh paint with no dribbles or drools, along with brand new hardware, removing the worn out original 1940s hardware. Check. Andrew put up beautiful new white wainscoting 3/4 of the way up on all 4 walls. And yes, it was a perfect solution to hide those ugly, hideous walls. Check. Andrew measured and put in a pretty new countertop that Sharon had picked out. The next day, Thornton Flooring came to lay down a beautiful new kitchen and back entryway floor. Double check. And instead of Sharon cleaning her own kitchen, an awesome girlfriend who loves the Lord as much as I do took time off from work to help me clean and wash out the inside of Sharon's cupboards. Together, we rearranged her dishes in the cabinets. We hauled miscellaneous items to Goodwill, with Sharon's permission, of course. We replaced them with new items. We cleaned her refrigerator inside and out. We made sure all the glue marks were off her new floor. We cleaned her stove inside and out. And we hung up some pretty new white curtains on top of some gorgeous new blinds in her kitchen. What a blessing it is to have a Christian sister like Cheryl, and you have many of them in this church, I want to tell you if you don't know it. Get to know the women folk. They're awesome. They're like my friend Cheryl, who dearly loves the Lord and has helped me with many of my projects that I've done for God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing other Christians like Cheryl into my life who come beside me and help me with your work. Double check. Sharon has always enjoyed my husband's photography. He has a passion for it. So on her kitchen walls, my girlfriend and I hung up a total of 11 of his photos, with 9 making up a collage over her kitchen table. I told my dear husband I had 2 requirements for selecting his photos. First, I wanted the focus of each photo to be something Sharon truly loved. So they represented several beautiful flower shots, a bright orange Baltimore Oriole she loves, birds, squirrels, and cats. Next one was a cute squirrel, and the last one was one orange, very grumpy looking cat, which made you laugh when you looked at it. But the second requirement that had to be fulfilled with his photos, each photo had to have the color, you got it, orange in it. And you guessed it. That's a double check, by the way. And you guessed it. On the walls above the white wainscoting, all the way around the room, was painted Sharon's favorite color, orange. Now this is my confession time. I gotta tell you, it was simply beautiful. Since Andrew had done all the hard work and actually helped pick out the exact color of orange, we called her new paint color Andrew Orange. Orange made the whole room overflowing with God's joy. Now ask me, and I will tell you, I love the color orange. Check. Yes, Lord, sometimes I need to stretch my faith too. If you created the colors, a color like orange, then why wouldn't it be beautiful? Thank you for another stretching opportunity for me. Andrew was God's blessing to Sharon and me. God used Andrew to make this total transformation happen for Sharon. There was not one single inch in that kitchen that had not been transformed. Andrew turned the old into the new for God. Why, Andrew even built a brand new double shelf, which he hung above her oven to hold her microwave, along with a CD player she couldn't use in her old kitchen, for the only space for it to sit was way too high up, and she had to drag a chair across the kitchen floor, stand on the chair, and then try to reach the CD. This new covered shelf hung at eye level above her stove would also hold two copper wire baskets that held her new orange dish towels. And by that CD player of hers, I left several new Christian music CDs. Above the sink was another shelf, and on that shelf I had purchased a sweet block of wood about 4 inches by 4 inches with powerful painted words that simply said, "Pray more, worry less." I have total confidence that God will use this kitchen and everything in it to bring about His glory. Because I know God led Andrew to me, I pray that He will bless Andrew back for everything he did to help transform this kitchen into a functioning, joy-filled, beautiful dream kitchen that reflected Sharon's taste and God's love that has no limitations. Check big time. I am a blessed woman. Now do you see why I love doing projects for God? I see God moving ahead of me, opening doors I can't open on my own, and when I said yes I would do it, I didn't even realize there was a door there for me, an obstacle. But He opens the doors before me. I feel His presence, His love, His guidance. He is a God that wants to be super close to every single soul in this sanctuary. It's up to you. You have to open your heart and your soul and your mind to God. If you've never invited the Holy Spirit into your heart, please don't let today go by without doing it. We serve God by being a servant. God always, continually gives me the answers I need to move forward when I'm working for Him. Whether it's accomplished by bringing to me a total stranger like Andrew, or a close sister friend like my girlfriend Cheryl in Sioux Falls, or maybe I just lack wisdom, and suddenly I've got the wisdom I need to go move forward. I have received tangible gifts from people like furniture on projects before this one. No one even knew that I needed it, and someone offered it to me because they knew I was working on a project. And it was the exact thing I needed. Sometimes I've had friends give me a check or send me money. I put that towards the project, and then I redirect my own money for something more to help that hurting person. No matter what it is, God leads and God provides. I personally experienced it time and time again when I'm doing a job for my Lord, and I'm always left shaking my head and feeling so very, very blessed and really impressed with how awesome our God is. As Sharon and I sat at her kitchen table, once her kitchen had been totally transformed, I asked Sharon to bow her head with me so I might pray to God to thank Him for all He had accomplished for her. I also acknowledged in my prayer that God had been present throughout this fun project, for He wanted her to know how deeply He loves her. Sharon's response was one of joy. Appropriately, joy was exactly what God wanted for her. Her new kitchen was meant to be a blessing in her life. Check big time. As I continued to pray with Sharon, she broke down and cried. I had the strong feeling that no one had ever prayed for her or with her. think about that for a second. I felt God's loving conviction and vowed again, I do better in sharing my love for him with others, including my new friend Sharon. Remember, I had known her for 27 years, never offered to pray for her or with her. Truly, everyone sitting here today is tremendously blessed. For you know the Lord, and you know he already loves you. I don't believe Sharon had ever been told that fact. And doesn't that break your heart? And there are a lot of Sharons out there in this world. We're God's ambassadors, and we've got work to do. When I was done praying with Sharon, I told Sharon that I knew God wanted her to awaken every day, filled with a heart of joy, and then I asked her for just one favor, a request of me, for me. I made her promise to thank God for this kitchen designed by him, just for her, each morning as she entered into the room, to be continually reminded that this gift of a pretty new kitchen came directly from God because he loves her. Sharon's life had been touched in many ways because I had listened to God and I did as he asked of me. Okay, fair is fair. Perhaps there might be one person or maybe even a few of you who could argue with me that to transform a woman's kitchen from an ugly, worn-out 1940s kitchen into a joy-filled, orange and white dream kitchen. Dream kitchen is Sharon's words, not mine. On a shoestring budget might not sound like a way to save a soul, but I'm just betting that someday Sharon and I will play together in heaven and sing songs of praise to God as our souls enjoy his everlasting eternity. And now as I end my sermon to you today, I have two questions to ask before we part company. How did my Sharon project affect you? I pray it will. And I pray we'll do it deeply. Did you hear God calling you to share your love for him with another? Could I suggest to each of you to spend some time today and ask yourself, indeed, make a list. Who do you know that has never been exposed to God's love? Maybe you are the soul. Out of your mouth will come the words and the Holy Spirit will move. And that person can be changed and transformed forevermore. They can become one of God's kids because you took the time to share your love and faith for God with another. I know that God creates each of us with different abilities, gifts, and talents. What I've personally experienced is how God richly blesses me when I use those abilities, gifts, talents, and blessings to help others. Especially as we share him with others. And I believe, I know, he will help you too, just like he helps me, as you use your faith to go forward and do his work. I pray you will ask God to use you for his glory too. And how do you do that? Just ask God. Lord, help me to share my love for you with another person who does not know you. Show me how. I'd like to finish by reading from a book I finished some time ago. The name of the book is called Unshockable Love by John Burke. On page 29, the subtitle is, What Are You Zealous For? I'd say, What's Your Passion in Life? It does little good to call ourselves followers of Jesus if our lives and our influence don't reflect Jesus' life. Jesus said, Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Lord, to the Father, John 14:12. God fully intends your life as performance art, lived in concert with his spirit, to have the same influence on the world as Jesus did. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What you do in life following God's lead becomes a living work of art, poetry in motion. God prepares you in advance for a unique purpose. Only He knows. A masterful picture of a life well lived that truly brings purpose, fulfillment, and eternal beauty to you and to the people around you, just like Jesus did. All he needs is faith, you growing to trust his leadership more and more. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in Proverbs 11:30, "He who wins souls is wise." The only thing we're going to take to heaven is souls. So now I end. And I end with a 15-second prayer if you bow your heads. Almighty and awesome God, we love and adore you. Help your children to be better role models so that we might bring others to know and love you. Help us to use our abilities, our talents, our gifts, yes, our time and energy, and yes, your blessings, to reach out to those who don't know you, or maybe they're rebelling against the life you want for them by refusing your love. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be the person God created us to be as we come closer to them and share you. Show us how to be a savior of souls. In Jesus' most holy name, we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. She gave me her manuscript earlier, and I go like, unexpected blessings. I count at 12 that there are in the story. I didn't expect you to write down the ones you heard her say, but there's 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples of Jesus. Put those numbers together. But God is looking for servants who will listen and obey, who will depend on Him, and who will get out of their comfort zone. Sharon's story is not finished. It is ongoing. Can't wait to hear from Marianne again someday.